Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivan, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, wrapping up the budget and building momentum for hosting a political convention. We begin with Columbus City Council members unanimously passing an $807 million 2014 general fund budget that will allow the city to continue to focus community resources on basic city services while saving money for unexpected expenditures. As in years past, the City Council will utilize a jobs growth fund, a neighborhood initiatives fund, and a public safety initiative fund to help prioritize expenditures of resources during the next year. Here's Finance Committee Chair, Councilmember Priscilla R. Tyson.
The general fund budget as amended will total $807,404,022 and focuses on supporting the city's top priorities, which include a sustained commitment to savings, safety, jobs, economic development, and maintaining our core services to neighborhoods. We're also depositing additional $10.6 million in the Rainy Day Fund and additionally investing in education, restoring full-time hours for our parks, for recreation and parks, and also supporting code enforcement. There will also be opportunities for Experience Columbus and GCAC and Human Services to be able to benefit from this budget. Collectively, this ordinance will authorize more than $1 billion in spending to provide services to our residents. While there are many to thank, the residents and the citizens of our city of Columbus who have been a part of our many public hearings, meetings, phone conversations, and dialogue, the top of my list. Collectively, each of you makes Columbus one of the nation's finest places to live, work, to play, and to raise a family. I want to publicly express our appreciation to the mayor and his administration, to each of these directors who were in all those hearings and shared their work for 2014. I also want to thank Auditor Dorian and Director Rakowski and his staff. The budget we are considering is not only responsive, but responsible. We have planned for the future, kept our past commitments, and crafted a document to address present-day challenges. The mayor and the administration's approach to governance, coupled with the additions by this council, have produced a budget plan which will deliver services in a cost-effective manner and, moreover, invest in the programs and services that will grow our local economy over the long term. The patience, innovation, and continued creativity of this council are truly appreciated. While I recognize the importance of the budget in its entirety, I specifically want to thank my colleagues, Councilmember A. Troy Miller, for his continued commitment to small business. Councilmember Eileen Paley for her commitment to exposing our youth and our community to careers in engineering. Councilmember Herschel F. Craig, thank you for your support to assist our veterans. Councilmember Mills, I want to thank you for keeping our neighborhood safe by investing in our safety forces. And President Genther, I want to thank you for your support that you've given through this entire budget process and for your efforts to reduce infant mortality. And lastly, I'm looking forward to continuing my efforts to continue to create pathways out of poverty for our community residents.
As Councilmember Tyson mentioned, the Infant Mortality Reduction Initiative, sponsored by Council President Andrew J. Genther, will support the work of the Greater Columbus Infant Mortality Task Force. The task force is comprised of public health experts and community leaders that will work to reduce the infant mortality rate by 40% and to cut the racial disparity in half. African American babies in Franklin County were more than 2.5 times more likely than white babies to die before they reached their first birthday. Included in the budget was additional funding for the Franklin County Municipal Court. As the city continues to fight to erase blight in Columbus, the City Council recognizes the court will need additional resources to hold code violators accountable for their actions that negatively impact our neighborhoods. From the Municipal Court is Judge Ted Barrows.
I'm speaking in favor of this budget, but I particularly come before you representing the Franklin County Municipal Court to thank you for the attention all of you paid in our hour of need. You will recall that shortly before the budget was submitted, there were a series of articles in the dispatch, and as a result of that, the mayor added in this budget 8 new positions in the code enforcement division to bring better services to our community, to make sure that landlords do what they're supposed to do, and to beef up the code enforcement that's going on. And I want to commend the mayor for that effort. I think it's very important for the reasons that you set out why this is one of the best cities in the United States to work, live, raise a family. However, increased code enforcement means increased citations and increased cases that are brought down to the municipal court. And when it became evident to us that there was going to be an additional push, we got together with our newly elected or recently elected environmental court, Judge Hawkins, who indicated that upon review, he felt that the ability of the court to follow up on the enforcement actions recommended by the mayor was going to be impacted. The case, he has one probation officer who follows up on all of the people who come in with various code enforcements. Typically, their sentences require them to be on probation and to follow up by repairing and fixing the things that brought them to the court in the first place. And upon his review of the court and its process, it was his opinion that for the last several years, the actual follow-up that the court did had been neglected. And he felt it would be appropriate at this time with this push to beef up his section of the court. We agreed with him. And so we approached this council, the Public Safety Committee, which was chaired at the time by Councilmember Mills and was also staffed by Councilmember Klein, requesting additional staffing for the environmental court, including another probation officer, including a staff attorney to assist the judge and perhaps to act as a magistrate with an anticipated increased caseload coming in, some furniture to equip their offices, and a vehicle so that instead of paying our employees to use their own vehicles to pursue the court's business, we would have a fleet vehicle for that purpose. Councilmember Mills, Councilmember Klein invited us down, asked some searching questions of us, and at the end of the day approved our request. And I'm here on behalf of the entire court and specifically the Environmental Division to thank you all for listening to our request. We know that it's a fairly small portion of a very large budget, but to us it's important. And we hope that to the community as time goes on, having additional resources to follow up on the enforcement efforts that our executive branch is taking will make you proud of the efforts of the court in making sure that those things have some staff. So my purpose here is to thank you and to voice my support for this ordinance. Thank you very much.
Councilman Klein.
Thank you, Chair Tyson, and certainly just wanted to thank you, Judge, for working with Councilmember Mills and I in identifying the resources and the needs of the court. In the period of heightened enforcement, the goal, as always, as the city attorney has said, is to abate the nuisance. And to hold people accountable, we certainly need the staffing levels that are adequate to hold people accountable. That's not just a citation. It's also a court appearance and ensuring that the nuisance is abated. So thank you for the work that you've done on behalf of the municipal court and certainly the environmental division in trying to accomplish the goal of making Columbus's neighborhoods as safe and strong as they can be on the housing side and holding those accountable in a holistic manner. Thank you, Judge.
That was Judge Ted Barrows. City Council is also supporting programs that help families who are teetering on the verge of homelessness. The YWCA's Bridge to Affordable Housing Initiative is helping families that are facing a housing crisis. From the YWCA is President and CEO Alfie DeBella.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this evening. And then on behalf of the people we serve, we thank you for your support and the opportunity to bring a proposal to you called Bridge to Affordable Housing, which was presented to you as a collaboration between the YWCA Columbus and the Gladden Community House. The YWCA Family Center for Homeless Families is struggling with a 132% increase in demand for emergency housing over the past 4 years. Over 70% of our clients are single mothers who struggle to stay in market-rate apartments when there's no subsidized housing readily available. Through our research, we have determined that with a little additional help, these women and families can stabilize their housing for long term. The program we propose is called the Bridge to Affordable Housing. It will make additional dollars available to families who are experiencing a housing crisis leading to imminent homelessness. In this program, families interested in and eligible for project-based Section 8 housing will receive support, financial assistance, education, and resources to sustain them, and then until they either move into a subsidized unit or have increased capacity to afford market-rate apartments and housing. Each family will be assigned a case manager who will assist them in developing a goal plan to stabilize their home, income, and housing. Education groups facilitated by experts will increase each family's capacity for paying rent on time, maintaining utilities, having positive relationships with landlords and neighbors, and valuing housing as a means to stability. Financial assistance will be made available to families who are actively participating in case management and education groups. This money will be used for utilities, basic needs, transportation, etc. Each family will develop a household budget with their case manager and be expected to live within this budget. The YWCA plans to contract with Gladden Community House to implement this community-based program. They currently manage successful programs serving this population and have partnerships that will help families expedite access to community resources. We're so appreciative of your support to provide resources for this prevention program pilot, because your support is critical to strengthening our families, our children, and our community.
The City Council is also working with local leaders to put Columbus on the political convention map. Ohio has long been a swing state in national elections, so why wouldn't one of the major political parties want to come to Columbus and court swing voters? The city is investing $250,000 in Experience Columbus to lead the effort to pitch our city and region as a host for a 2016 convention. Now, these events could draw as many as 45,000 people, including 15,000 international media, and bring in an estimated $150 to $200 million in economic impact spending for Central Ohio. From Experience Columbus is their president and CEO, Brian Ross, and Development Committee Chair, Michelle Mills.
Our 900 members and partners appreciate the ongoing collaboration from City Council and our mayor, helping pitch groups to come to town like the Full Gospel Baptist Convention, 31 Gifts, and American Hort, helping make sure groups have great experiences like the upcoming Arnold Sports Weekend, and the return of the Black Enterprise Entrepreneurs Conference. Our annual report is on its way, you'll see it this week, outlining hundreds of events, attracting millions of tourists, conventioners, and business visitors. We've restructured our economic development efforts behind our five-year strategic plan, and we will make sure that, or we could not have done it without you. We are protecting long-term business and winning national accounts like the 2015 National All-Star Game, NHL National All-Star Game, NCAA National Championships, Girl Scouts, and the National Association of Middle School Educators. Our Make It Columbus initiative is getting results. Local civic and business leaders, as well as elected officials, have helped secure over $90 million in economic impact over the next 5 years. We are building Columbus's national profile and our region's economy. The budget and amendments you're voting on tonight will help us bolster steps to compete, including our effort to pursue the DNC and RNC. I was in Washington this morning meeting with the RNC to discuss their extensive bid needs. The political national conventions will be the largest events that our city has pursued, somewhat our Super Bowl. But I want to thank Council Members Klein and Mills for putting forth this amendment to help us compete with the Las Vegases, Phoenixes, Denvers, Kansas Cities, Dallases, and others as we pursue one of these national political conventions. Thank you for investing in our campaign to compete and for your continued leadership.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you coming down. I want to say to the listening and viewing audience this evening that this is a type of investment we have to make to continue to position our city to be on a national stage and bring the dollars that we need to our community. Each and every day, we interact with folks from national organizations, and I want to encourage them to do just what we're doing and the investment that we're making, and as to encourage their groups and organizations to make it Columbus. This is what's going to continue the progress of the city. These investments are necessary and needed, and so I encourage everyone to think about Make It Columbus. It's going to take not only your team, but the entire team of the City Council, the Mayor's Office, and everyone to continue to position our great city on a national stage. So thank you for your work, and to those who are listening, and hopefully someone who's making those decisions are listening now, and I'll say to them now, stop shopping. This is the stop right here.
Another council budget amendment, one that is sponsored by Councilmember Eileen Paley, helps to fund an amazing social service organization. In about 3 short years, the Harmony Project has become a community focal point of entertainment, engagement, inspiration, and social change in Columbus neighborhoods. The mission of the Harmony Project is simple: unite people through song and help make Columbus an even more special place to live and work for our residents and families. The group of up to 200 strong has performed at Mayor Coleman's State of the City address, the opening ceremony for the President's Cup, and numerous other events. And while not creating beautiful music, the Harmony Project members are volunteering and supporting neighborhood projects that make Columbus a safer place to live. For those reasons and others, Councilmember Eileen Y. Paley sponsored a 2014 General Fund Budget Amendment to allow the Recreation and Parks Director to enter into a contract with the Harmony Project for the purpose of providing at-risk youth with year-round music lessons. Council will fund the $200,000 amendment through its Neighborhood Initiatives Fund. Here's Councilmember Paley.
Councilmember Craig and I are proud to sponsor this ordinance. The Harmony Project isn't just about the 200-voice all-volunteer choir that is unique to our city. They sing, they serve, and they share. While the concerts are always incredible, and our city has benefited in tremendous ways from the service and their sharing. Just a few accomplishments: the choir members have cleaned and refurbished Blackburn Recreation Center for the school's All-Stars, the after-school All-Stars, collected over 4,000 toys and gift cards for the youth of Central Ohio, collected more than 100 bicycles and answered wish lists for young people of Franklin County Children's Services, and provided over 300 hours of service to the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. Just to name a few of the many contributions that the Harmony Project choir members have made. We look forward to many exciting things from the 2014, from their One Week, One Neighborhood event this year. The neighborhoods included this year are Old Town East, Franklinton, and a return to the Livingston Avenue between Parsons Avenue and Nelson Road. The Harmony Project is a great example of public-private partnerships. The city is investing in the Harmony Project in order to leverage their funding from private resources and to make our neighborhoods the best place to live, work, and to raise a family. Councilmember Craig, do you have any additional comments?
Thank you very much for your leadership. I appreciate your sponsoring, shepherding this important legislation. You're absolutely right. And in my view, this certainly is a template of diversity in service. I think if we look over time, what the Harmony Project has meant to our city, to young people and families, it's clear that certainly their musical genius in this is important, but it's the service to families and children and how it is continuing to transform communities that is so important in its mission. So I'm certainly happy to join you in the sponsorship of this important legislation.
For more information on the Harmony Project, go to harmonyproject.com. In other council business on Monday, City Council passed legislation to ensure quality health care for thousands of Columbus residents. Since 1974, Columbus Public Health has provided primary health care services to the underserved through contracts with community-based health centers. Since 1998, Columbus Public Health has contracted with Columbus Neighborhood Health Centers Incorporated, a local nonprofit corporation, to provide primary health care services to the medically indigent patients at various neighborhood health centers. CNHC's Tom Horan says that about a quarter of his group's funding, or a little more than $5 million, comes from the City of Columbus. That helps to serve 15,000 people in 8 neighborhoods.
Council President Ginther and members of council, I am speaking to you tonight on behalf of the staff and the board and the nearly 30,000 patients that we serve at Columbus Neighborhood Health Center. I extend to you, each of you, Mayor Coleman, and to Dr. Long, our gratitude for the city's unwavering support and commitment to assuring that all people in our community have access to health care. As we are all aware, that this is a time of great opportunity and uncertainty in healthcare. The Affordable Care Act and the expansion of Medicaid eligibility in Ohio means that more people in our community will likely have healthcare coverage and will be seeking primary care providers. CNHC, being located in 8 Columbus neighborhoods, many of which are considered medically underserved, will be a great resource for these people, providing them with high-quality primary care, dental, and vision services. These new opportunities will bring relief to many. We are mindful, however, that they will not reach everyone. There will still be people who cannot obtain health insurance and will fall through the cracks in the healthcare system. It is for this and for many other reasons that the city's support of CNHC is so critical. The $5,007,000 allocated to CNHC in 2014 represents one quarter of our total budget. Without these dollars, we would face insurmountable challenges in providing healthcare services to more than 15,000 people who come to us each year without insurance. Without CNHC, these people, many of which are unemployed or live in poverty, are homeless or undocumented, would have nowhere to go when they are sick. Some would perhaps head to the hospital emergency departments. Others would probably delay care to the point that their conditions become very critical. Most would never seek routine preventive care and would have no options for dental services or vision services. It is well understood that people living in poverty face some of the greatest health challenges and often have poor health outcomes by the time they do enter the healthcare system. Only through the availability of affordable, high-quality care can this vicious cycle be interrupted. The availability of prenatal care for uninsured women is also a critical issue, particularly in light of the city's recently launched initiative to address high infant mortality rates in the Columbus area. Making sure women have early access to prenatal care is particularly important. In 2013, CNHC provided care to more than 1,200 pregnant women, 65% of whom accessed care during their first trimester, which is a really great achievement for the folks that we are serving. CNHC represents both an opportunity and hope for all of our uninsured patients. At CNHC, they are assigned their own board-certified physician and are provided high-quality primary care that meets some of the most stringent healthcare standards that exist today. Non-English-speaking patients receive interpretation services. We provide transportation to our patients, and currently we are expanding the availability of mental health services to our patients. Healthy people means healthy, vibrant community. Thank you for your continued support.
For more information on neighborhood health care clinics, go to COLNHC, that's COLNHC.org. City Hall has been turned into an art gallery thanks to the 7th Annual Martin Luther King Jr. Arts Exhibit sponsored by the Community Relations Commission. Addressing council after a reception with city leaders and the young artists was organizers Ron Tardina.
I am very pleased and honored to be here, and thank you for this time that you have. I know how busy you are. But I find it so important that I had to say a few words about how important it is for these students to do this project. This project goes beyond just the classroom and their schools and reading about the history and legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin King. But more importantly, they get together and discuss things amongst themselves. They find new ways of thinking for what discrimination really is. I remember marching. I was in college in the 60s. I got signs, I got down there, and I marched. I went with all of that idea. Us artists are colorblind, as you know. We see the world totally different, and we welcome the idea of diversity. It's what makes us strong as a country, as a city such as Columbus. Columbus has, from last I heard, 127 different languages being spoken here. That is really a great number of diversity of people coming here, moving here. The city has been growing and growing and growing. And our students have to think about that. They are confronted with that on a daily basis. This breaks down those barriers. This is the type of thing that I found so wonderful when I met Nelson Hewitt and Columbus Relations Commission. That is so perfect of a venue for them to be working this way. In the world they live today, is a big world. It's worldwide. It's not just Columbus, which makes it so difficult for them to sometimes think about all the things they have to think about and to get along with their friends and relatives and teachers and all the other people that are in school. They run into it every day. This venue actually cements their thinking. They have to make a product, not just talk, but make a product to be seen by many, to express their view. And reading what they wrote, wow. I mean, I'm still learning from them. They confront things that I never confronted. It's not just for them. They teach the adults what it's like to be in school. I find that this is such a great program that I've been teaching for many years, for 45 years. And I've been with many, many youth groups doing many things with Head Start and so on in the community and scouting and exploring. I'm always working with the youth because they are our future. If we are going to make Columbus great, we got to support them because they are our future leaders like you. They'll be sitting here in the future, some of them, maybe, doing things in our community to pull things together. We all know, you all know, that the only strength we really have is all of us working together with our diversity. That's our strength. And to learn to be accepted by that. So in closing, I'd like to say, really welcome your support of this program, hopefully continuing support for this program, and that spread the word. We're here. We're trying to grow. We want this to take off and become a big thing.
We're out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. Don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. And a reminder, City Council offices will be closed on Monday, February 17th, in observance of President's Day. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.